For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Chuck, what's going on this Thursday, man?
Well, Ty, I was just waiting to talk to you. Just looking forward to being on with you today. How are
what
you?
What a way to start your day.
I'm in a really good mood,
it's
man.
It's like Folgers in your cup.
Second right. cup of honey coffee. I've done this new thing, Chuck. I do honey in my coffee now, and I'm going to throw some cinnamon in it starting next week. But it is it has been a joy. It's been a new adventure, I guess, in the mornings nowadays.
I bet Ty doesn't even know the old Folgers jingle. Do you know the old Folgers jingle? Probably one of the best ad jingles ever written.
I know what the coffee container looks like, but no, I don't know the jingle itself.
It was a great tagline jingle. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. So that's what you should be for me and Chuck. The best part of us waking up is Ty Richardson. I can't make that
rhyme. It's still the coffee part for
it's
me.
Still the coffee.
I mean, no disrespect to you guys. I mean, you know, I do enjoy visiting with you in the morning, but I enjoy drinking my coffee and not visiting with you at first.
That was almost believable.
Coming on and I enjoy visiting with you after I've had my coffee, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, you're getting enough energy right now from this Arkansas basketball program. Yes, you still probably want your coffee, but it's giving you more. I know we're away out till October or November, really, when basketball season gets it going. But you sign John L. Davis. Now, to clarify this, he can technically still pursue NBA stuff, so it's not a done deal just yet. But in some people's minds, Chuck, this is the biggest signing of the transfer class, and you got to be happy about this. Here's Jeff Goodman, who works for Field of 68, also I think does stuff with Watch Stadium still. Here's what he said about the signing of John L. Davis, who they know as Nelly.
No, I think he fits there. Now, the only thing I would say with somebody like Nelly Davis, okay, a year ago, if Nelly Davis goes into the draft process and the portal, he's looking at a two-way of, you know, let's say $500,000-$600,000. Well, he's also looking at a payday of about that same amount of money a year ago, because that's what the top guys in the portal were probably getting a year ago, around $500,000-$600,000. Now you can double that. Now Nelly Davis is probably going to make an excess of $1.2-1.3 million. That's what I'm told the offer is for Arkansas right now. So if you're Nelly Davis and you're looking at it and you're saying like, all right, I could go and maybe get a two-way at $500,000-$600,000, maybe, not guaranteed, or I can get a guaranteed $1.2 million from Arkansas. It's kind of a no-brainer right now, isn't it, guys?
Maybe this is the Arkansas radio host in me, but it sure seems like the money's more sure here in Fayetteville than the possibility of getting drafted. Now, that's his decision. It's his family and what he wants to do. But it sure seems more of a surefire situation here than maybe elsewhere at the next level.
Well, I think that's what he was saying. That you know, that's what made his decision what it turned out to be. I don't know the parameters of that. I mean, I don't know what he was offered. I have no idea. I do know that he's probably right about, or I suspect anyway, he's probably right. If he went to the NBA, he'd probably be, you know, one of those two-way contract guys, kind of like, you know, we've seen some of our guys that have gone to the NBA that are on those two-way deals. So he's probably right about that. I don't know what the offer is here. I do know nobody's griping about NIL now.
No.
It's changed a little bit when you got plenty of money to spend.
And we had a chance of John Tyson, again, seems to be the big architect, the big leader on the money on this. And he's kind of approaching it this way. This was a small excerpt with his conversation with Bo on talking about just Arkansas, being an Arkansas fan, and how he feels like there's opportunity here, not just with the basketball program, but other programs too.
We're a proud state. Be proud. It's okay. It's okay to have expectations. At one time, this state was called the land of opportunity. So right now we're called the natural state. But when I was growing up, the motto of this state was the land of opportunity. I still think that should be the motto of this state, the land of opportunity. And I still think that way. You look at all the things that have been successful here by people showing up and working. So that's a damn proud state, land of opportunity.
So he's obviously put pen to paper. Those aren't just words. Actions have followed what he says right there. And I just wonder, it seems like based on the conversations and some of the reports out there, he's not the only one. We know what Warren Stevens did, also helping get Cal here and some of the other big donors. If this is not just going to be a basketball thing, because I think it's already this way in baseball to a certain extent, maybe not the same level of investment, but I wonder if this will leach into football at all, because that's where you're the farthest behind of the three major sports, I think, relative where to your competition, in my opinion.
Well, I guess we'll find out. I mean, that's a natural question, but I don't know that we have any inkling of what the answer is going to be right now.
Yeah. Well, what we would hope, or from my opinion and my position, you would hope that for what appears to be John Tyson to basketball, that someone like Jerry Jones could be that for football. You know, let's just call it what it is. You need a sugar daddy for each program. That's what they need. And, you know, Jerry's support over the years has seemingly went to a lot of things, but primarily football first. They put their name and put their money behind the nutrition center or whatever you call it, where they make all the meals for the athletes as well. But that's what you would like to see in a perfect world, I think, Ty, is, you know, for what John Tyson's seemingly done for basketball, let's find someone like Jerry Jones or someone willing. He's the first that comes to mind to take care of football.
Well, here's one thing that I do think we have to keep in mind on this. Financing 85 kids on scholarship and another 20 or so that are part of your 105-man roster and financing 6, 8, 10, 12 basketball players, well, that ain't cheap, and I'm not dismissing it, and I'm not by any stretch of the imagination saying that it's a small number, because clearly it's not. But financing a football program, one person's not going to do that. There has to be a collection of people.
So on the subject of the basketball players, I think a lot of people are asking who's next. Well, Jackson Robinson recently entered the portal. We've seen guys that have left Arkansas and then come back, like Jimmy Witt. Think about Mike Anderson and then to Eric Musselman. My immediate thought, I wondered about if there was a possibility there. You've added scores. You've added big men. You need shooters on this team. You need shooters and role players now to help spread out the offense and just guys that'll get in there, get rebounds, play defense and stuff. I know a dude, Tierra, was in town earlier this week. Curious to see if he winds up as an Arkansas Razorback. He's more of a role player type, a 6'8 guy. But that is my next like push, if I'm Cal, is really going after those two type of players as shooters and role player guys.
We'll go get them.
Tommy, you got any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, like Chuck said, I mean, I think you're selecting from the cream of the crop and you're trying to close them. I think, you know, we're trying to talk about NIL, but we really don't know what we're talking about. because we hear there's a lot of money. We've heard that Jonell Davis getting, you know, $1 million, and you played the clip earlier. I mean, it's hard to talk parameters because this isn't like reading a box score. Mm-hmm. We can talk about Peyton Stovall going five for five. That's my difficulty with the conversation is because of the current state and the lack of transparency in the way NIL works, all we can do is guess and have an opinion. But, yeah, I mean, if you're suggesting we go get the best players to fill all the roles, I'm with you on that.
I don't know about I don't know, Ty. You said he thinks you think he's going to go after role players now. I don't know that. And here's why. I don't think any of us really know. I mean, how many people, quite honestly, you know, imagined our roster would look like even what it looks like right now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what it's going to look like yet. Yeah, you're going to have some guys do the dirty work. There's no doubt about that. But you don't know that you don't already have those guys. Maybe these guys are great players and they can do the dirty work. We're guessing is what I'm saying. We've been guessing. We've all been guessing.
Yeah.
From day one. And that's just kind of how it works. When you think about, for example, a player like Jackson Robinson, would he come back to Arkansas? What Jimmy Witt, those guys did under other coaches, doesn't have anything to do with now. John Calipari's head coach now. John Calipari, I don't know if he's got any history with him or not. I don't know if he'd consider him a player that he'd want to get. The only reason we bring him up even is because he played here.
Yeah.
Because he got good after he left. So, but you got to remember, he transferred in here from somewhere else too. Yeah. So, I don't know. Not sure. I haven't heard that that's even a possibility.
That is just that when I saw that news and Mark Pope and Cal seemed to be
going. It's natural to wonder, yeah, but that's what happens, Ty. People wonder out loud and all of a sudden, oh, here's Jackson Robinson. Mm-hmm. Well, they may not have had anything to do with each other.
You're exactly right. But you asked a fair question about we don't know what type of roster this is going to look like moving forward. I just don't want this roster to be filled with just all-stars because you get to a point where you're going to have too many mouths to feed, guys are malcontent, and it doesn't work. You have to have guys, and even I'll give credit to Anthony Black and Jordan Walsh, who are McDonald's All-Americans, that did dirty work on the defensive end at times. And Anthony was as unselfish as a high-caliber player as I've seen, and he played through injuries. He was a tough kid. Sometimes that works as freshmen and you get that type of mentality, but it's not always that way. When you go after guys like, again, that fit into the role players that don't have these just eye-popping stats, that's why I like the idea of bringing a Dutiero here or Jackson Robin that can shoot and fill it up, because one of the other weaknesses of this team the last couple years is the inability to shoot the basketball. That's why I want to add those type of players.
I don't know that Tiero's one you would classify as a
He's not a shooter at all. I'm saying from the role standpoint. Yeah. Rebounder, tough guy,
he's
defense.
An inside guy.
Yeah, 6'8", wing, can do a lot.
You've obviously got to get shooters, and I think they've signed some. I just think we need to sit back and watch this. And I suspect that if he signs role players, as you put it, they'll be better than average role players. I'm pretty sure of that. And I want them to get the best collection of players they can get. He's coached all different types of personalities. If there's a prima donna in this bunch, it won't be the first one he's ever coached. It won't be the last.
I mean, this is kind of an obvious statement, but it looks like every spot on the roster is going to be an upgrade across all 13 because not one player with eligibility left.
That's fair.
Not one player with eligibility left on last year is even being uttered as a possibility for this 13-man roster. So I think the thought that you're going to have an across-the-board noticeable upgrade in all 13 spots is, I say it's obvious, but, I mean, that seems to be what we're all expecting and I think what will unfold at this point.
You, Chuck, mentioned types of personalities. Again, our audience probably doesn't know the backstory or really a lot about Jonell Davis, but going back to Jeff Goodman, here is what he had to say in terms of Cal and just what he expects on the coaching side of things with Nelly coming to Arkansas.
Nelly is not the easiest dude to coach. He's not. And John Calipari has dealt with some tougher dudes to coach. Like, that's what he's made a living on. That's what he's built his career on. So I think it's the perfect match for both Nelly Davis And John Calipari.
I think some coaches shy away for what we would perceive to be certain problem players or guys that have antics or stuff off the court or something that are a little more difficult to coach. Cal's not exactly like you said in that, and kind of just heard Jeff Goodman say that same thing.
What's he talking about there? I mean, when he says he's not the easiest guy to coach, I'm not aware.
It's just probably a vibrant personality. I mean, there's certain college basketball players that get to a point as a their stature that, I mean, Mason Jones, for example, I'll think of someone the last 3 or 4 years. Mason wasn't the easiest guy to coach, but he's a great player. And him and Mus had some tiffs here and there, and they went back and forth. We saw it firsthand in Budweiser Arena and other places, and yet it still worked out.
Well, that's pretty standard operating procedure on any team. You've always got a player somewhere that's, you know, maybe a little bit different in that regard. I thought he was inferring, and I thought you were inferring, there had been problems off the floor, because I haven't heard anything
about let me bring that back in. I said off the floor, that's not a shot at John L. That's just other maybe players or other guys that Cal has brought in over his Kentucky, Memphis, UMass days.
I got you. I understand.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go back to what I said earlier. I don't think Cal's going to be fazed by that. If there's a prima donna in the bunch, he knows what to do. I mean, I've watched his Kentucky teams play. He's had one or two on those teams.
Yeah.
So he knows what to do with that.
When you see all these guys on the NBA rosters, and they have the backstory and stuff, that some of those guys were a little more difficult to coach in college, because they come in being told they're the best ever, the greatest ever, like you never do anything wrong, especially the way that kids are coached nowadays in high school and AAU. It's kind of a quick change immediately when they've gone to Memphis, Lexington, and now when they get to Fayetteville here.
Well, you know, we speak cliché-ishly quite often about how, well, you know, the best player on his high school team's not the best player on the floor anymore. There's lots of best players on high school teams that are out there. We've said that ever since we got into this. But when you play for one of Cal's teams, evidently, when you look at the talent, that's never been more true. I mean, you may be a five-star and everybody, you know, across three states may think that you invented the wheel. But, you know, you get to camp and there's 10 other guys exactly like you. So I'm sure it is different.
Dealing with divas will be nothing new for him, and it will all be great training for dealing with Chuck when it comes to doing the TV show and the radio show. Yeah. So he'll be well-versed for dealing with you. Hey, we're brought to you by Williams Tractor, now WT Equipment. Roll into the season with WT Equipment. Strong savings right now on hay tools, compact and mid-range tractors, even large commercial-grade hay equipment. Save $5,000, $10,000 or more in cash back, or take 0% financing for up to 48 months on hay tools, 60 months on mid-range tractors, and up to 72 months on compact tractors right now. So if you're needing an upgrade for weekend chores, or you need consistent strength and efficiency for the daily grind on your operation, they have the machines that you need to get the deal done. It's all at WT Equipment. There's a location near you. These offers end June the 30th. WT Equipment, they're your partner in progress.
So the Miami Heat were closed out by the Boston Celtics last night. Really had two blowout games. Dallas Mavericks ended up getting a big-time win, game number 5. A lot of times a game 5 winner goes on to win the series. And Daniel Gafford was very much in the thick of things last night.
Sequence.
Yeah, by the Mavericks. Uh-oh.
Here's Gafford! That is a banger! Kyrie Irving on the long alley-oop pass, and it's Gafford throwing it down.
So 5 rebounds, 8 points, a steal, and a block for the El Dorado native. That highlight you just heard, Kyrie Irving threw it from like half court, and Gafford went up and got it. He has thrown down some of the most like dynamite alley-oops of the season, and really one of the dunks of the playoffs, guys, last night from Daniel Gafford.
Well, he's a great athlete, always has been. I mean, my gosh, when he goes up for an alley-oop and stretches that right arm up as far as he can get it, I mean, it's above the top of the backboard, it seems like. I'm glad he's in Dallas, glad he got traded, glad that it worked out where he can play for a team that's in the playoffs. Daniel's never going to be a guy that, like, you know, if you're looking for someone with 28 points and 17 rebounds, he's not going to be that guy. But if you're looking for a guy kind of like last night, 5 points, 8 rebounds, couple of assists, key block, you know, big block in a key moment. Highlight reel dunk.
Role player like we were just talking about?
Yeah, very, very, you know, very similar. I mean, he's a starter. He doesn't really play starter's minutes, but he's a starter for him, and it's just been a good situation for him there.
He's even going back to watching him as a high school athlete in El Dorado and then, of course, at Arkansas. He's as good a big man as I've seen running the floor. You know, a lot of times you watch big men and they labor from end to end, and defensively they don't always help you as quickly in a half-court possession as you'd like. He's always been one that, you know, he moves from end to end a lot more fluidly, a lot more like a three or a four than a five. And I think that that is maybe his best asset is his ability to get back quicker than most of his counterparts.
Yeah,
Probably is.
He beat, on that play right there, he beat Mason Plumlee pretty easily to the rim. And those guys, whether it's Doncic or if it's Irvin, they are always looking for him in the fast break. Other Hogs in action tonight, you got Patrick Beverley and Bobby Portis trying to hold off elimination. They're on the road against the Indiana Pacers at 5:30 on TNT. And then you've got the other game, which is, Chuck, your New York Knicks trying to beat Philadelphia back in Philly. We were talking about this earlier. Knicks have just absolutely dominated their fans, that arena, and we'll see if the 76ers are able to win tonight or if that becomes the Knicks arena if it's Madison Square Garden 2 later on.
Well, so are the Philadelphia owner. I think bought 2,000 tickets
to try to keep
Knicks fans from buying them up.
It's embarrassing.
Knicks kind of blew a chance. I mean, I'm a little bit worried. I'm not going to lie to you. They should have closed them out. They had them beat the other night and let it slip away, get into overtime, and then they lost. So they're going to go back to Philly, and Philly may win. I mean, they may have to go back to the Garden for the seventh game.
Yeah, looking here on the Bet Saracen app, Knicks are catching 3.5. Sixers are favored in that game, and
I believe that.
Over-unders at 200.5. So I was just looking here to take some of the NBA playoff games for tonight. Bucks are catching 7.5 from the Pacers, and the Cavaliers are catching 4.5 from the Magic.
So. Got to stop Tyrese Maxey tonight if you're the New York Knicks. I mean, he's the one that hit the and one.
Well, you're not going to. You're not going to stop Tyrese Maxey, particularly at home. You got to find a way to win the game knowing he's probably going to score 30, 40 points. I mean, he's a great player. The idea that you just stop Tyrese Maxey, well, if it was that simple, somebody would have done it a long time ago. So he'll get his points, and the Sixers may win tonight. But I still like the Knicks, but I'm a little bit worried because I think they blew that game when they were up 3-1.
Game 7 in MSG, that has a nice ring to it.
Be noisy.
I know that you'd rather them close it out tonight. But
what
that
would
is
that ticket cost?
Oof. I guess
it'd be the get-in price
there.
It is
just a first-round game. It's not like in a finals or an Eastern Conference.
It's only about 5,000.
Yeah. Just I think it was going for the other tickets were going about 400 or 500, but it would definitely be in the thousands if it came to a Game 7.
Yeah. I was just looking at here.
I don't think I'm going to go. I'm going to make a decision right now. I don't think
executive
I'm
decision.
Yeah.
All right. On the Bet Saracen, Tyrese Maxey over under for points 26.5.
What are you taking, Ty?
Under.
Under.
You got too much faith. He's still a young buck, man. He's
under
in the biggest situation. He's going under. Yeah. He goes under 25.
Over. I'm going to
overs
take
minus
over.
130. So.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid 30.5.
Pay me directly, Ty.
Oh, we're doing man to man, like at Dave and Buster's nowadays.
Man to boy.
We'll talk about it off air. Well, Ty, don't call Chuck a boy. That's what I mean.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand, And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more details. That's ArlingtonHotel.com.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
Bet Online is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Chuck, do you know about the Glizzy Gladiator? Have you heard the rumors? Have you heard the story about the Glizzy Gladiator?
I don't know that I have. Okay. It might be.
All right. Well, I want to tell you about this guy, and I feel like that we are not doing justice on talking about the Glizzy Gladiator without the Mex music in the background. So,
meet the Mets.
So this fan for the New York Mets on Tuesday, Chuck, on Dollar Hot Dog Night, was having this contest to see if he could drink more beers or more hot dogs. Hot dogs ended up winning 10-9. It was a bad day to be a Glizzy, as he had written down on his shirt. The issue was, and the issue why this is being brought up on a Two Stupid Thursday, is not because of the efforts of the Glizzy Gladiator. It's because he was removed from the stands by security because in the ninth inning, Mets fans started throwing hot dogs on him, and he was becoming a nuisance and becoming over the top. So he finished with 10 hot dogs and 9 beers, but unfortunately did not get to finish the game as the Mets won, 4-2 against the Cubs earlier, Tommy?
So how did he attract all this attention? How did this become a story?
He's got this shirt, and he's chugging beers, and then he's eating hot dogs, and then he would write a Sharpie mark, like a... on his shirt.
Like he put a K up on the wall for a Hagen's
mustache. I got you.
And fans started to notice, and they started booing at the security when he left, and they're chanting, "Let him eat, let him eat." Well, they didn't let him finish the game, and letting it. So again, 10-9 the final, 10 hot dogs, 9 beers. It's stupid because security did not let him conclude the game.
So he's a fan favorite. They were throwing him hot. They weren't throwing hot dogs at him because they hated him. They were throwing hot dogs at him so he could eat some more.
Boost
is that what you're saying?
Boost those numbers up, man.
I got you.
10 hot dogs and 9 beers in a 9-inning game is pretty good.
That's a beer an inning.
Yeah.
And a hot dog an inning.
What would be harder, to eat the hot dog every inning or drink the whole beer every inning? I don't know what size cups these were.
After a while, it would be drinking the beer for me.
I think you just fill up, you know? I think it's hard.
Ty has that many beers before the seventh inning stretch. I mean, it's no big deal for him.
Yeah. Well, the hog fin can get to you sometimes, and there's a lot of truth to that. But, again, the Glizzy Gladiator, remembered, not forgotten, and I just hope they have this promotion in Bomb Walker's
Stadium. I'm sure glad we didn't forget it.
It'll never be forgotten, thanks to you,
Ty. My life will never be the same again.
That's right. Great. Achieved immortality.
Great fan. A great fan. Just hope
hopefully they'll make a movie someday.
Again,
just a 30 for 30.
I'm going to say this to the athletics department once again. Get this promotion in Bomb Walker next season. It's not going to happen against Mississippi State. It's not going to happen in a regional super. Just shove it in a midweek game next year. It'll get more fans to the ballpark. There's nothing.
That's a great idea, Todd. Yeah. That is a great idea.
It's first of its kind.
They are lacking for support over there at Baum Walker. First, you do have a good point.
First of its kind. Well, speaking of Baum Walker, Arkansas again wins 8-5 last night. Peyton Stovall had himself a game, one of the best as an Arkansas Razorback, and his teammates noticed, including his catcher, Parker Rowland. Here's what Parker, who apparently is Peyton's roommate on road trips, had to say. It's just kind of expected of Peyton.
Stovall's my roommate on the road, so we get to talk hitting a lot, and, you know, he's a great hitter, and I'd say he's helped me a lot since I've been here, too. You know, I think he's going to play baseball for a long time, and watching him go about his day-to-day business is pretty special, so I'm not surprised by it, to be honest with you.
He's now hitting 350, and Tommy, I mean, it's one thing to have a couple hits as a leadoff guy, but 5-for-5, and he's playing his best baseball. Dave said this a couple weeks ago, so he had the surgery after getting banged up. And then what's surprising to me is against SEC play. I know last night was a midweek game against Mo State, but he's had his best games this season against conference competition, with the exception of last night.
Yeah, and 9 games to go. You know, he missed time earlier, obviously, with the foot back, you know, end of March, first part of April, somewhere. Maybe it was in mid-February. I can't remember the dates, but missed a few outings there. So, you know, you need him to spark things. Again, it's still too early, I think, with 3 weekends to go to be playing your best baseball. You've still got 4 more weeks before you want to begin to peak, and that's just beginning to peak. So, I want him to get hot, but, you know, not necessarily May the 1st, Chuck. It's too early to play your best.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think you want to try to play your best every time you go out there and get better as you go. I hear what you're saying, but we've not seen peaks and valleys this year.
No.
I mean, they're 39-7.
We were talking about that earlier, and I want to talk to you about that.
They've not been on a roller coaster.
Nope.
And so that's one of the things that I think is encouraging about this team. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't run into a hot team somewhere in the postseason. And sometimes it has more to do with the other team than it does your team when you lose unexpectedly. And that's a hard one to swallow sometimes, but it's the truth. Sometimes you just run into a hot team, like we did a few years back with NC State. Yeah. Sometimes you just get beat. But this team's not going through a lot of that this year. I can tell you that this statement that we just kind of passed over, no midweek losses. I mean, that's a mouthful, guys. They play 56 games. I guess this year they're going to end up with 55. But that means that 30 of them are conference games and 25 are what are classified as, you know, or at least 20 of them are classified as like midweek games, 18, whatever. How many did they have? 12, 15, whatever. To win them all, that's no small feat right there. Well, not to just have one loss in there. That's no small feat.
39 wins on May the 1st. It's the morning of the May 2nd. I get it. But you got 9 regular season games to go. You just start kind of charting out, you know, if you win 5 or 6 of those, you win a couple of games in Hoover. You got to win at least 3 in a regional. You got to win 2 in a super. If you have the kind of season you expect to have, Chuck, 51 is the most Dave Van Horn has won at Arkansas in a season. This is a team that could, you know, I assume that's the program record for wins in a season, but you could be topping 55, 56 wins if this team goes all the way in Omaha.
I don't have the record book in front of me. I think one of Norm's teams top 50. I could be mistaken on that. But the point's well made that they got a chance to pile up some wins.
Yeah.
And, 50-13
is Dave's best record in 2021 at Arkansas.
Okay.
So.
I think Norm might have won 51 maybe one time. I forget. At any rate, yes, they're going to have an opportunity, but the postseason determines that. You know, the postseason determines that. You got 9 games to go. You know, they're at, as we said, they're at 39 right now. So you can start doing the math. They're going to be into the 40s. But how far into the 50s they get is going to be determined by what happens in the postseason.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I would say right now, I'd probably go with a guy named Smith on Friday. And then on Saturday, probably Tigert. And we'll leave it TBA right now just to make sure that Molina's good to go. I imagine that's what he'd tell you.
A guy named Smith, which we all know who Hagan Smith is.
Hope he's all right.
Yeah, I hope he's okay.
Hope he can pitch.
111 strikeouts on the season in 11 games, basically averaging 10 a game. Now, he is at 310 career strikeouts right now. 345 is Nick Schmidt's record. So in order to break Nick Schmidt's record, you would have to do basically 12 strikeouts a game. Guys, in the regular season, do you think Hagan Smith will break the record? So again, he's averaging 10 strikeouts a game for the most part, with the exception of 17 against Oregon State earlier this year. My feeling is no. The regular season, he's going to need a game in Hoover, possibly a game in the Fayetteville Regional. He's going to break it. I mean, Arkansas will at least have two postseason appearances, one in Hoover, Alabama, and the next one in Fayetteville, Arkansas. But he's not going to be able to throw 12 strikeouts a game these next three games in Lexington against a ranked Mississippi State team and against, I think, the second-best hitting team in the SEC on the road. It's just not going to happen. It's
well,
coming. It's just not coming.
That would be tough.
Yeah.
That would be tough. It's important to note that postseason strikeouts do count as part of the record. So,
correct.
I mean, he's going to break the record. It's not like some records where you have to, you know, they're just regular season records. Postseason counts. It'd be hard to do it before the regular season ends. You know, he's generally working, you know, seven innings is pretty much it. And so, I mean, you know, for him to pass it, he'd have to average almost two strikeouts an inning in the regular season. But he might be in a spot where he could do it his first outing in the tournament.
Remember his first outing against James Madison that went so terribly
wrong?
That
was horrible.
And to have the kind of season he's had and starting with maybe his best performance of his career was the very next one down in Texas. But to go from that and, you know, you talk about averages and the 17 there, you also got to average in the pitiful performance he had that first game. But to think where this team's at and where he is at following that game, Chuck, is pretty remarkable.
Well, that was all weather, guys. I mean, that was all weather. It's cold in Fayetteville, and it's warm in Texas. That one's not hard to figure out. You're not going to get your best performances in the month of February. You're just not. Look at Vahiva Aloy. Look at what he was then, what he is now. The idea that a great player's got, I mean, they know when their bread's buttered. I mean, they know when it's time to perform, and you know, February is important. I'm not saying it's not important. But it's cold. It's not baseball. It's not baseball in February. It's just not.
Here's what I will say. The, what what happened in February, if you parlay with what happened in Fayetteville in the regional of the year, people were a little curious. They weren't like concerned, but they were just like, all right, he ended the regular or the end of the postseason bad a year before, and then he does that. And that's why people were like, whether it's fair or not, they combine those performances.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but I mean, it's not like the first. It's not like it's the first time a player's had a subpar game on a cold day. I mean, that's just how it works in college baseball. You can't base a lot on what happens, in my opinion, with a player that first weekend. Maybe you can as a team. Maybe you can get some signs then. But in terms of an individual player, what kind of year he's going to have, you can't base that on the first weekend.
I'm going to say that he breaks the strikeout rate. He will break it. I agree, Ty. It won't be in the regular season. It's going to be in game two of the regional in Fayetteville.
In fact, hold on. Let's do this. Let's hope he doesn't break it at Hoover. There's no Hawk fans that are going to be there. Yeah. Like, you don't want him to break it at Hoover. You want him to be at home in your mecca. Bomb Walker Stadium. In fact, I hope he has a bad performance in Hoover.
Oh,
I want him to break it in Fayetteville. You don't want him
to have a short
performance. No one's there.
I hear you. I hear what you're saying, and it would be nice if he could do it at home. I will also say that if it happens at home in the postseason, it's going to be right in the middle of an NCAA tournament game. And I don't know, like, for example, if you were playing a home regular season game, when he breaks the record, you're going to have an announcement on the scoreboard. Crowd's going to give him a standing ovation. He's going to tip his cap and all that stuff. It's going to be a great moment. I don't know what you do in the NCAA tournament. You know, they don't even let you have they're pretty strict about what they let you do is what I'm trying to say. You may be getting to play at home, but they try to make it neutral site during the game. They fail, but they try.
Wink, wink. Yeah. Wink, wink.
And I don't know what it would be like, to be very honest with you. What would happen, you know, during the game if it happens in the NCAA tournament? But I tend to agree that I think that's probably when it's going to happen.
Yeah. So I don't think he'll start game one. I think he'll start.
And
game
we're assuming
two.
Everything goes fine between now and then. That's a big assumption, but sure hope it does.
How about just average? Averaging 9 strikeouts the next 4 games. That gets you to 36.
Four average outings and you ought to get there.
Average for him, not average for most college baseball players. Sorry, Tommy, go ahead.
I would say the competition, you know, in these final 3 weekends is no slouch. And
that's a very good point.
And we've got, you know, no idea how Dave will want to handle pitching at the SEC tournament, but keeping these guys on schedule would be important, and he may not go 4, 5, 6 innings, but I would imagine he'll get a start in Hoover. He'll pitch 2 or 3 innings. That's kind of been the history with guys like him, and when you get to the conference tournament in this situation.
I would imagine he would probably get a minimal amount of work in there, right. Unless there's some kind of reason, you know, he's got a tired arm or something when we get there. I would imagine that he would probably get
routine. Routine's important.
Yeah. Yeah, some sort of work in there.
That is your your Morning Rush Daily Question brought to you by our friends at Red River Dodge in Heber Springs, Tommy.
Red River Dodge in Heber Springs, Arkansas's number one Ram dealer. Log on at redriverdodge.com.
Now, let's talk to Tom Murphy on the Morning Rush.
All right, Tom, we'll bring you into our Morning Rush Daily Question. Hagen is, barring an injury, he's going to break the all-time strikeouts record for Arkansas this season. Does he do it, though, in the regular season? Can he average 12 strikeouts the next 3 games against Kentucky, Mississippi State, and A&M?
Hi, guys. It could certainly happen. And I haven't studied Kentucky or Mississippi State with any great depth to find out, are they a heavy, you know, very aggressive swinging team, and could he get 14 in one of those games and get himself ahead of the pace he would need? I hope he breaks it in the regular season, because I heard y'all's discussion about, if it happened at the SEC tournament, there'd probably be an announcement, you know, maybe they're on the spot, maybe between innings, but certainly at the NCAAs, they wouldn't be allowed to, I don't think Arkansas would be allowed to stop the game and have any kind of deal. So hopefully he'll get it, in the next three.
Tom, I wonder about who's going to be catching for Hagan, not just this weekend, but the rest of the way. We saw Parker Rowland. We've seen Helfrich. We've seen Hudson White. I know the outfield has been a question on who's going to be where in the postseason. But do you think Dave has an idea of who he wants catching games, or is this going to be a game-by-game basis?
Oh, my gosh. So Rowland was a spark plug yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he didn't start the season hot, but he of late, when he's in there, he walks a lot, so he's got a very discerning eye. Hudson White just hasn't hit, I think, like they thought he would. He was one of the hottest hitters they had in the fall. I mean, he started the season off, I think, leading off. So some decisions will probably be made on how tight you want to, how good of a blocker and a guy throwing down to second and such. But I would think Rowland has as good a chance, the way he's played lately, to catch as anybody. And of course, they really like Helfrich against left-handed arms. So it's going to be, I think catching is going to be mix and match the rest of the year.
Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Let's switch over to basketball. We haven't gotten deep into the news this morning about John Calipari officially announcing Ronald Coleman and Chuck Martin to his staff as assistants. Tell us what you know about these guys. I know they got history with Coach Cal and have been with him for some time and got college basketball coaching experience.
Yeah, they do. And I think it just kind of stands to reason that Coach Cal is going to have guys on his staff that he's known and he's trusted. And the formula's been pretty good. Kentucky fans obviously were, they weren't heartbroken to see him go, but the formula has worked for him over the years, and the recruiting part of what he has done during his long tenure at Kentucky and Memphis before that and so on, UMass, has produced a lot of great talent. So I'm not sure, has he completed the staff? Is it full yet? I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Has the numbers even going back to Kenny Payne and now these two and some of the salary numbers I saw floating around on social media yesterday, has that surprised you a little bit, the investment that they're now making, not only with Cal that we obviously all know about, but also this staff that's going to be more well-heeled than any Arkansas basketball coaching staff we've ever seen?
Well, I mean, slightly surprising, but look, they want to run with the biggest of the big dogs, and if that's what they feel like it's going to take, I mean, obviously, John Tyson has stepped to the front in terms of a renewed financial commitment to the program, and but with that comes the anticipation and basically the pressure to produce results. So, no big shocker at what some of these salaries look like, but I would say the price of doing business, but it's modern day. Things have escalated. I mean, look at your price for groceries or getting any kind of service done at your house. It's going up.
Well, and won't surprise me if the tickets go up as well. And I think fans will line up to pay. And I don't think there'll be any problem. I was just doing some quick math of, they have student seats and they've got ones they keep in house. But they had say 18,000 seats and they were able to raise those $50 for the season. There's 900 grand. So it won't surprise me at all to see a noticeable increase on your tickets when that comes around.
Wouldn't be a shocker in the least. And, I mean, Arkansas fans have proven you put a winner on the court, they'll show up. I think Arkansas fans should be forever a grateful that Eric Musselman came on and did what he did. I mean, it was a time when it wasn't easy to do it in college basketball, and he produced a team that got really good and better as the season went on and was reaching its max in the postseason. And, man, you can't ask for more as a basketball fan for your program to be delivering like that.
Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline, Whole Hog Sports, Arkansas, Democrat Gazette. Tom, is there anyone you think Cal wants back? I mean, we hadn't seen anything. I know Trent Brazil just entered the portal. Doesn't sound like the NBA that he got the feedback he wanted. Is there any guy in the portal currently that you think Cal would be interested in a reunion with Arkansas?
It's all about fit and personality matches and things like that. I mean, Trevin Brazil's got a fine game. and I don't see why he wouldn't. So I would pursue him, and it looks like, you know, there would be a chance for Devo from what I've seen. So and obviously, you know, it seemed to me that even though it didn't get, you know, it wasn't a well publicized or anything, it seemed to me that between Eric Musselman and Battle, there was a personality thing or something that was happening. And every once in a while, Eric Musselman would say, in terms of playing time for him, you know, you got to be bought into what we're doing on defense and all that. So clearly it was a defensive commitment thing, but we haven't seen a more pure scorer in a while. I mean, Mason Jones, he could go get his buckets anytime. You know, Isaiah Joe, great scorer. There's been a bunch that have come through, but doggone, when Khalif Battle, you know, he could rise up over guys on the perimeter, or he could drive. He got to the free throw line a lot. Battle was a fantastic scorer. And, of course, Tremont Martin has a good game as well. And, you know, you can always remember him for beating A&M in that game where the Aggies came back from, what, 20 down and got the lead? Unbelievable. So I like the potential for any of those guys. And I don't know if some of them might have already declared where they're going or not, but all those would be, you know, welcome in my eyes.
I saw the number one recruit in 2025. The conversation he had with Cal was basically same brand, different location. And I was curious how it would go, him coming to what is perceived nationally as a little bit lesser program. I know we got a lot of pride of what goes on in Bud Walton Arena in this state. But when you look at what he's done thus far, do you think that players are surprised and coaches are surprised how quickly it's gone down with these first six guys that are has already got this class in the top five, Tom?
No, I don't think so, because his track record has said he can recruit talent. I mean, he's got a magnetic personality. I mean, you saw him work in the room at the introductory press conference. There's going to be some fun moments moving forward with the press corps here. But no, I'm not surprised at all that the talent accrual is what it's been to this point.
Yeah. Tom Murphy with us here, Whole Hog Sports, Arkansas Democrat. As we started talking with Hagan Smith, let's kind of get back to baseball here in this weekend. You got Kentucky coming up beginning tomorrow night. Tom, this may be the series that perhaps decides the regular season overall champ. Could go a long ways in whether Arkansas is going to be in a position to overtake A&M in a couple of weeks in the West as well. What are you expecting this weekend in the Bluegrass State? Not just the Kentucky Derby there, but one of the biggest weekends in college baseball as well.
It really is. And, I mean, if you look at what's ahead on Arkansas' schedule, they're not favored, I don't think, to win overall title. And, you know, Tennessee's been playing better as well. And certainly A&M is right there barking at their heels and is higher rated in the country, and they have to finish. I mean, the Razorbacks have to finish at Kentucky and at A&M, you know, two of the four teams vying for the overall title. And in the middle, they have Mississippi State coming in here, and they're playing a lot better. I saw yesterday where Kendall Rogers thinks they're going to be a host, and they're coming on. So sweeping any of these three would be a fantastic development for Arkansas, and winning the series is going to be tough on all three of them. So Kentucky has been the surprise team in the conference, no question about it this year. I don't know a ton about what's going on with their roster other than they've scored a lot of runs and they've pitched it well. So this is going to be a fantastic, a fun weekend, and Arkansas has just got to be more a consistent hitting team. I mean, it was great to see Peyton Stovall go 5 for 5, but they got a lot of guys in that lineup that are going to have to be more productive entering the postseason for them to have a chance to make it to Omaha again.
All right, Tom, we'll leave it there. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, sounds good. Yep.
Tom Murphy with us. Chuck, this is probably one of those weekends. I know you like having some of your time back, but this would be one you're probably itching to be behind the microphone for this weekend.
You know, this is it's a big weekend, not just for Arkansas and Kentucky, but, you know, Tennessee and Texas A&M are very much involved in this, too. Mm-hmm. The divisional races are identical right now. Arkansas and Kentucky, and On the other side, you got Tennessee a game back, and on our side, you got A&M a game back. So Tennessee plays at Florida this weekend, and A&M goes to LSU. So, you know, and then Arkansas obviously plays Kentucky. So, you know, we're talking about this weekend perhaps deciding the overall title. You could have different divisional leaders by the close of the weekend. You know, depending upon what happens with Arkansas and Kentucky and what happens with Tennessee and Florida and LSU and A&M. So this could be a moving weekend and then two weekends to go. And as we discussed earlier and as Tom kind of mentioned there a minute ago, A&M's playing really well, or pardon me, Mississippi State is playing really well right now. And I saw where they beat Ole Miss in the Governor's Cup game last night in Jackson. That was a non-conference game, but they beat them in that game. So Mississippi State's playing well right now, and that will not be an easy home series. Yeah. Hey, guys, let me pause just for a second and talk to you about Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company. If you are buying or selling a home, let me tell you about my partners in the real estate game, and they've been my partners really throughout my adult life. From the very first time I bought a home when I had no clue what was going on, I'm sure thankful they did. At Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company. And, you know, the process just kind of goes on. And those of you who've, you know, partnered with a real estate company throughout your lives know exactly what I'm talking about. They listened. They understood my needs. They presented a plan. And they got me from contract to close. And, you know, again, I didn't always know what was going on, but they did. And that's the value in partnering with a well-trained, full-time real estate agent. And that's what you get at Weicker Realtors, the Griffin Company. They've got offices in Northwest Arkansas. They're in Washington County. They're in Benton County, Fort Smith, Branson. You can check out their selection of homes at WeikerGriffin.com.
I don't know how far Lexington and Louisville are together, Tommy, you brought up
about an hour and a half, okay. Hour and 15 minutes.
Well, the game's at 1 on Saturday. You think you could make it to the Derby right after that? Hall butt
could.
Over. Yeah. That'd be quite a weekend. Watch a little.
You'd have to get your helicopter out to, you know, beat the traffic, but you probably could pull
parking might be a minor issue.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be
100,000 people or so there.
I think y'all have had some friends. I've had some friends that go. They said that it's a sporting event that there's nothing like it. And I don't even, like, I've been to Oakland plenty of times, but I don't even know what would be in comparison to that outside of Oakland. But it would be something cool for Arkansas fans. In fact, we've got a text or two on the McCarty Dana hotline that are from Kentucky, Tommy, that might be there this weekend.
I can tell you from spending some time in Kentucky for professional and personal stuff, their level of horse racing is a whole different level than everybody else's. Now, look, I love Oakland. I'm not knocking Oakland. I think it's great. You look at some of the horses and how well they've done at the Kentucky Derby. A lot of them came right through Hot Springs. But just in terms of the pomp and the circumstance and all the stuff that comes with the sport of kings, they know how to pull it off. Whether it's Keeneland in Lexington or whether it's Churchill Downs, they know what they're doing.
No. Sounds like it's got to be on my list at some point. All right, let's talk to Brent, who's in Stuttgart, or Searcy this morning, excuse me, on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. What's up, Brent?
We got Brent.
Talking about baseball, if I can.
Do it, Brent. How's it going, buddy?
Oh, Chuck, you know with me, I keep it moving, keep it grooving. Had a heater and feed this morning. I'm in great shape. My first question I've had is just a college baseball question. Is there any talk of them moving the start of the season back to the beginning of March, where you could possibly be out of the really cold weather games in Fayetteville, for example? Do you know if that's ever come to the forefront in the NCAA's mind?
I don't think they're going to push it back to March. I mean, I remember when it started, you know, when they didn't have a uniform start date. The Florida schools would start playing the middle of January. Hawaii would have a game right after New Year's Day. They always
Wow.
Florida and Florida State, I mean, 15th of January, they'd be playing their season opener. We generally started the first weekend of February. You think it's cold in the middle of February, how about the first weekend of February? So they finally pushed that uniform start date back. I don't know that they're going to do it anymore.
Yeah. I wish they would, but I'm with you. They probably won't. You got the Major League Baseball draft to consider as well.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Same brand, different location. That's what the number one recruit had to say about his conversation with John Calipari now in Fayetteville compared to was in Lexington. And based on what's happened thus far with three transfer commits and three high school highly recruited guys signing here for Fayetteville, Arkansas, there seems to be some truth to that. John Calipari is the mainstay. He's the name. But he would tell you, and he has, and I've heard him talk about this, how important his staff is to his recruiting success. We're going to talk about the recent announced additions, Kenny Payne, and maybe some of the troubles that Eric Musselman faced at the latter part of his stretch here at Arkansas in Hour 3.
All right, all that coming up, brought to you by Uncork. They're on Phoenix Avenue next to Sody's in Fort Smith. Mother's Day weekend coming up. I know a lot of you want to take mom out to something special, something unique and different. Now's the time to start making reservations for that Mother's Day weekend at Uncork. Friday and Saturday nights will be busy. You can go to uncorkthefort.com. You're going to find a unique and different experience. And that's it's not just the wonderful food that Chef Jazz will serve up, but it's Maggie and the ladies behind the bar and that come to your table and take care of you with five-star service. It's going to be the list of wines and the unique drinks that you can find there that aren't anywhere else. And then you get to the menu and things like fried deviled eggs. And I know you say, what? Yeah, trust me, try them. They are phenomenal. And there'll be something on the menu that mom will love as well. And I'm sure mom will love a kind of a maybe a hard-to-find wine or something that you can enjoy at Uncorked. It's uncorkthefort.com to make reservations or stop in and see them on Phoenix Avenue next to Sody's in Fort Smith for Mother's Day weekend next week.
This hour of Chuck Barrett on the Morning Rush is presented by Mach 1 Financial. Mach 1 Financial Group, LLC is an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Bentonville, Arkansas. For full disclosures, visit Mach1Financial.com/disclosures.
Kenny Payne was the first official hire announced as his associate Arkansas men's basketball coach, nearly making $1 million. That's unheard of in Arkansas basketball for the number of years, even what you're paying Cal at $7 million. But some other additions have been announced. Ronald, better known as Chin Coleman, and Chuck Martin, both have worked for Cal before at various places. Some guys this past season that played under them, like Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham, who really came on as freshmen. Guys, I think one of the underrated storylines why it maybe didn't happen for this past Arkansas basketball season is that Muss has lost a lot of assistant coaches these last couple years, and it seems like that Cal has brought in guys that he's worked with before that have a track record of success as assistants. Cal is, again, the mainstay. He's the main proponent of the success, but as I've heard him say before, his assistants are a big part of the success that he's had in various places.
Well, I think assistants are keys in any staff success, and maybe the most important thing a head coach does is assemble a staff. Forget the roster for just a moment. I mean, you've got to have a staff. They're going to be the ones that stay with you. You know, the roster is going to change. And I'm sure all these guys, number one, they're part of his circle of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they obviously are good at building relationships. You have to be, I would imagine, based on what we've seen, you have to have that skill if you're going to be part of his staff. I'm anxious to see when we get there what type practice coach he is. you know, Muss coached everything. I've seen coaches that are, you know, I mean, they're right in the middle of every drill. I've seen coaches that instruct from the sideline and their staff's in on every drill. I don't know how this is going to work. I have no idea. I believe it is Coach Coleman, Chin, who is very reputable in terms of tutoring point guards, guards particularly, maybe point guards specifically. And I think that's the reputation that he's gained over the years and his stops along the way. So, you know, everyone's got a certain area where they've got expertise, but they all better be able to recruit. And I think that's the first thing you look at.
Yeah, this could change. But the Kentucky guys, the media that I talked to, said that he gives a lot of leeway with an assistant. And what I mean by that is he lets them coach. Now, it's still very much his team, still very much his practice. But there might be more of what you're alluding to now in the Eddie Sutton practice facility than there was these last couple of years. Because again, Muss was hands on. It worked. This is not a pile on Muss thing, but it's just a difference of styles that you might see in practice.
Everyone has a different way of doing it.
Yeah.
I was not really of age to notice when Eddie Sutton was here, but I've heard players who play for him say that he was much more of a, you know, walk around the perimeter of the floor with a whistle. And there are coaches that do it that way. And there are coaches like Muss who are in the middle of everything. And there's no right way or wrong way. Everybody's got a different way of doing it. But just from an interest point, I'm interested to see how Cal does it when we get there.
Yeah. And I think we also got to realize, I'm going to make some assumptions here, but you've hired a brand in John Calipari. He's probably going to have more things because of who he is and what he means to the sport and what he means from just an outside marketing perspective that's going to take him away from practice and campus. And there's going to be moments he's not there that you better have strong assistants that are in charge. Now, you know, I haven't seen it up close, and that may or may not be right. But, you know, this is a different animal than anything you've had before in any sport before. And I would imagine just the requirements of just everyday life, Chuck, of being John Calipari are a little different and a little more demanding on his time, which puts a little more demand on the assistants.
You may be right. That's one of the things where, you know, I'm interested to see how all this unfolds. You know, what type setup they've got when we get there. I would find it difficult to believe that he's going to miss much in-season time because of that. You don't maintain relationships and you don't build your brand on building relationships or the ability to build relationships and then tell your players, hey, I got something more important to do today. There's got to be a balance in there. But, we'll see. I'm as anxious as anybody else to see how it goes.
And you mentioned those relationships. The relationships have stayed at least on the three guys that he got out of high school that were originally committed to Kentucky, and we found out they were really committed to Cal. Then we've seen it was Vonimir Vicic, who was at Kentucky and then left Kentucky for Cal. I wonder, again, what other players that he's gotten or that got to Lexington are on that, like Adu Thiero, or Thiero was in town yesterday. Mentioned on social media that he was in Fayetteville, if he would be a guy. Still haven't heard a lot about DJ Wagner just yet, which I kind of find surprising. I would have thought we would have heard more about that by now. That's another guy that is built up. But even like some coaches, once they leave, those ties are gone. That doesn't, based on the four examples I just mentioned, that's not the case with him at all.
Make no mistake about it. Every player in the transfer portal, it's trying to cut their best deal. That's what's going on right now. Now, for some of them, it's going to be right here. For others, it's going to be other places. But that's, you know, go back to what Goodman said about John L. Davis. Everybody's out there trying to figure out what their best deal is. So, you know, that figures into players like Thiero and other players out there, every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal for Trevin Brazil today. And so that's the one thing that you have to keep in mind when you're talking about who's coming in next. Everybody's trying to put together their best deal.
Yeah, and you mentioned Trent Brazil. For those who don't know, he has entered the transfer portal. Doesn't seem like that any former Razorback will end up coming back to this program. But you also mentioned John L. Davis, who not only committed but signed with Arkansas. Rob Doster, who works for Field of 68, one of Jeff Goodman's co-workers, had this to say about what type of player he is and that could change a program in just a year.
I think he is the only guy in the portal this year that you circle and say he's a guy that could change what your program in a year. Right. He's the only guy that I think you can bring in and you can circle him and you can say, yeah, he's going to be an All-American with the chance to be a first team All-American that can put a team on his back and take him from being like good to win a league kind of a good. I think that he is that good of a player. And I think that that is why he's going to be getting what he's going to be getting if that deal comes through for him and Arkansas. Getting Nelly Davis would be the single biggest recruiting win in the transfer portal for anybody this year. And I don't think it's close.
Tommy, you asked a question to me earlier this week about like who's going to handle the ball. It's going to be him. It's going to be Boogie Flynn. They might bring in another guy. But I just, my whole thing was I don't want a freshman handling the ball in a postseason game or clutch situation. I mean, we've just seen it time and time again. That rarely works. We saw it with veterans winning the national championship this year in UConn. You can have a freshman like Stephon Castle in the mix or another guy. You don't have your ball handlers as freshmen. That hasn't worked in 10 years. It's not going to change anytime soon.
I didn't get nervous when Moses Moody had the ball, but your point's made. But these are different freshmen, Ty, than what we've had around here. They just are. And I hope John L. Davis, you know, is the type of player that can put the team on his back, so to speak. I hope that he is the guy, perhaps, that's taking those shots, but we're a long way from that point. I mean, we're a long way from worrying about who's going to take that shot in an NCAA tournament game. Sounds to me like they got a lot of guys.
But I will say,
you got all the money,
yeah,
that's no big deal then.
And Arkansas, at least on the basketball side of things, seems to be in a good situation there. But I think about like R.J. Davis for North Carolina coming back, the outstanding point guard for the Tar Heels. That was a first-team All-American, the ACC Player of the Year. That goes to the NBA if not for NIL. I think about Grant Nelson, who's coming back to Alabama, who Arkansas is going to have to deal with when he comes to Fayetteville, which is annoying because you would have loved to have him on your team, but he's back in Tuscaloosa because of NIL. And John L. Davis would probably have gone to the NBA after this year for FAU, but he's back because of NIL. So there are some benefits. I know it's hard to believe, but there are some benefits to NIL.
See, I think that's an interesting point. Matt Jones and I talked about this maybe a month ago as it relates to football, as it relates to quarterbacks. We were talking about Bo Nix, just for example, and some others too. Basketball, I think, and you're seeing it right now. Guys, I mean, the quality of play in college basketball is going to be better because there are players like John L. Davis and Nelson and some others who are going to play another year of college basketball because they got a better deal with NIL than they would in terms of what they might get in the NBA. So one of the it is an unintended consequence. I don't think this was part of the design, but one of the unintended consequences, and it's a good one, is that I do think there will be years, and next year may be one of them, where we look around the landscape, we see first 23, 24-year-olds out there making $1 million. But boy, the quality of play is going to be pretty good. I mean, the quality of play has a chance to be really good.
And here's something to keep an eye on as well as we're discussing NIL, the revenue sharing that's probably coming down the pipe that all these athletic directors are preparing for. The SEC and Big Ten are starting to put things together, according to Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports, to a model that will shape into that. The opt-outs that we've seen, we haven't really seen it for NCAA tournament stuff, but we have seen it for bowl games. These high caliber players that we're talking about, football, basketball, and really seen for baseball either, when that eventually happens, I think there will be stuff within these contracts that that don't allow for opt-outs. So that quality of play that you're discussing, not just in basketball, not just like we've seen in baseball, I think you'll still have that in postseason football too. At least that's the hope that they're trying to construct in right now is if you're going to get some of the television revenue too, you only get it if you play in these games, these postseason games.
Well, that's a different subject, but yes, that doesn't affect college basketball at all. But in terms of football, it will. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right.
But I do think, and I don't think we're too far away. I'm hoping that it never reaches this point. We've seen it in football. And we've seen it even in like a BCS type level game, even though the BCS is gone nowadays. But there will be a player that opts out before the NCAA tournament.
No, there won't. It's
coming. No, it will happen.
Not a good one. Not a good one for a team that's got a chance. No, there won't.
There will be a player that gets some terrible, probably the worst advice of his life, that thinks he is in a situation where he is better off preparing for the NBA draft than he is playing.
I'll give you plus 500 doesn't happen. How about that? I'll set it right now at plus 500.
How many years do I get? Do I get 50 years? 10 years?
Well, first off, NIL, as we know it right now, is going to go away within 24, 36 months.
How soon do you think this is going to happen, Ty? And you're declaring there's going to be opt-outs in basketball. Well,
there will be a player by 2030 that is, again, given the worst advice of his life, that decides, I'm not going to play in the NCAA tournament. I'm going to prepare for the NBA draft.
Way to put yourself out there.
You know, 6 years. What do you want? I just asked what the parameters were, and you guys were speechless. What do you want? 2 years? 3 years?
Speechless because we don't believe
ever.
It's going to
happen. How about ever?
Ever.
Yeah,
that's
ever.
That's a long time,
until
Chuck.
The day you die, Ty. How about that?
Well, that probably is in 10 years, so for being...
Well, no, I mean, you can live to be 100 is my point. It's not going to happen.
I hope you're right, but I think you're wrong. And seen it. Listen,
you are one who will make a dramatic overstatement on an issue, and this is just another one of them.
That doesn't sound like me. But, again, I don't think many people thought that a kid would opt out of the freaking Fiesta Bowl, and it happened. The Fiesta Bowl, which is
rich. You're ignoring the college calendar. These kids opt out and make these decisions as these semesters end. You're not going to be able to do this in college basketball. You're just it from a timing standpoint, number one, it makes no sense. And number two, bowl games are not, unless you're in the playoff, bowl games are not the biggest game of the season. In fact, far from it. The NCAA tournament basketball games are the biggest games of the season.
Yes.
They're not going to opt out of those.
Yes.
There's no way.
There's truth to what you just said. You're just wrong. It's okay.
Well, you know, all right, whatever you think. Let's just put it that way. Hey, this week on the Market Moment podcast, Lee, Matt, and Eli cover the latest news surrounding Elon Musk's visit to China. Tesla's stock went up because of that. They also talk about the rising concerns over EVs. And if we are heading into economic stagnation, you can check out the latest episode of the Market Moment podcast by heading to market-moment.com to find out more. Mach 1 Financial Group LLC is an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Rogers. For full disclosures, visit Mach1Financial.com/disclosures.
Tommy, I've got some good news. Charles Barkley has a clause in his contract. He was on ESPN Cleveland earlier this week that even if TNT was to not get NBA basketball rights moving forward, he would still be a part of coverage somehow.
I just signed a 10-year deal 2 years ago, but one of the things I did, I put an opt-out after a couple years in case if I wanted to go to Amazon or because we thought it was going to be Apple, to be honest with you. Okay. So the one thing I did in my new contract, I'm 2 years into a 10-year deal, and when I sit down, I said, wait a minute. Now, if you guys lose the NBA, I want to make sure that I can get out of here.
One of the biggest travesties in sports, if I was not allowed or anyone was not allowed to watch Charles during the NBA playoffs or just the NBA for that matter, but if TNT does not get this contract and NBC or another power broker gets it, he's still going to be talking NBA. I don't know if Ernie Johnson will be with him. Sounds like he might retire, but at least we'll still have Charles Barkley moving forward.
Oh, you know, I never worried for a minute that they wouldn't be part of the coverage because that's their brand, you know, and that's part of the NBA's brand is that pregame show and halftime show, that studio show. So, yeah, we commonly see announcers change teams, too, when you know, league contracts move to another network. This will be another example if it unfolds like that.
Yep. So I'm curious to see what happens with the future of this like whole situation, but at least we'll have Charles one way or another talking NBA because, again, not just NBA, but anything under the sun.
the most notable in that, now is play-by-play and color, but, you know, when Summerall and Madden moved over to Fox, I mean, they went right with that conference and right with that contract. So we've seen it before.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.